WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
You probably recognize this as the theme music that we always use to begin our show. We're playing it here to introduce our next guest. When we needed a new theme about 15 years ago, we went to a band that we loved, the Microscopic Septet. They never had a lot of commercial success, but they had a devoted following. Back in 1988, the music critic Francis Davis wrote, "Posterity is going to remember the Microscopic Septet as one of the best bands of the 1980s. Not long after our theme was recorded, the Micros broke up. But the good news is they've gotten back together for a series of reunion concerts in several cities, including New York and Philadelphia, and they've just reissued all four of their albums on two double CDs, Seven Men in Neckties and Surrealistic Swing. My guests are the band's co-founders and main composers, soprano saxophonist Philip Johnston and pianist Joel Forrester. The Micros not only play our theme music, we also feature a lot of their recordings in between segments. Here's one that regular Fresh Air listeners will recognize, Joel Forrester's Off Color. Johnston, Joel Forrester, welcome back to Fresh Air, and congratulations on these reunion concerts and the reissue CDs. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Terry. It's great to be here.
Boy, isn't it?
Let's go back to kind of the beginning for a second and talk about how you saw the band and what you thought its place was in jazz in the 80s. Like, maybe you could describe how you, the leaders of the band, envisioned the sound.
I think the basic reasons for starting the band were twofold. One, I wanted to do something of my own music that inculcated the influences of the different types of music that I was enthusiastic about, because whatever type of music I was playing, I always wanted to, that I was listening to and enjoying, I always wanted to play it. So I was really into jazz from the 20s and 30s. I was really into free jazz. I was really into stuff like Charles Mingus and Steve Lacy and Herbie Nichols and Duke Ellington, very much an influence, the John Kirby Sextet, people like that. So I wanted to put those, and also the Art Ensemble of Chicago, Anthony Braxton, I wanted to put all those things together because that's what was going on in my head. And then there was a bunch of great musicians who I was playing with in different bands, and I thought, wouldn't it be great for us all to do something together?
Joe, what would you want to add to that about the sound of the Micros?
Well, I would say that the sound comes from the odd personalities of the people involved, Terry. And I loved the fact that this seemed to be a band which had an ongoing commitment to playing new music on a regular basis. We rehearsed like mad, and when we played gigs, we'd choose those gigs where we could play three sets, play long, long into the night. And I think our listeners got caught up in the fact that we were doing something that was just a little bit different.
One of the things that Micros fans like myself really love about the band is that it you always have a sense of humor in the music. It's just like fun and witty. And did the humor ever get you into trouble, though, at the same time?
Well, I think some people had a problem with it. I remember there's an episode in particular where we played at the JVC Jazz Festival, and one reviewer wrote about us that while he admired the music from a technical point of view and a musical point of view, the humor he found very off-putting because he said he didn't understand whether we were making fun of ourselves or the music or our audience. To which I enthusiastically respond, all three. For some reason, people, especially people in the press, found that to be kind of puzzling. But what we were doing was partially reacting against the seriousness and the self-importance that jazz had been acquiring as it moved from being a popular music to an art music. That was part of its growing form. But for us, coming up in the generation in the 60s and early 70s that we did, we rejected that. It was part of, I think, everything that was going on. And also, I think there's the influence, for me at least, of the music that I loved so much, the jazz of the 20s and 30s, people like Don Redman. I mean, that music was very humorous, as well as having many other aspects that I related to, mystery and drama and so on. And then music like the Art Ensemble of Chicago also expressed a lot of humor. So putting those together, those were just things that I related to about it.
But you know, Philip, you and I have both become serious and self-important now, so
exactly.
It should be easy for us to be ridiculous once again.
Well, there was that, and then it's just the particular personalities of the people in the band. I mean, enough cannot be said about the qualities of individuality that each unique musician in the Microscopic Septet brought to the music. And I remember reading about the Ellington Reed section, that one of the things about it that was different from all the other bands was that everybody had a very distinct style of playing the saxophone. They had different vibrato and so on, and the other bands at the time tried to play more similar to get a blend, but the Ellington band, they just played the way they played. Well, in the Microscopic Septet, you can't find people who play more differently than each other.
Well, I would like to ask you each to choose a track that you're kind of happy to hear again and you're glad is on CD and that you'd like to play for us. So Joel, let's start with you.
I guess I would choose Second Avenue as the pick I'd like to hear.
And tell me why.
Well, Second Avenue actually is a tune from my earliest days in New York in the early 70s, if such a thing is possible, before Philip Johnston and I met. And it's probably one of the first tunes that he and I got together, just playing as a duo. It sums up a certain feeling about a street that our lives sort of clustered around for many years.
Okay, so this is Second Avenue, and this is from the Live in Concert CD on the new Microscopic Septet reissue, Seven Men in Neckties. Microscopic Septet. The track is called Second Avenue. It was composed by Joel Forrester, and along with Joel in the studio is Philip Johnston of the Microscopic Septet. And Philip, now I'm going to ask you to choose something and tell us why you're choosing it.
Well, I would choose Chinese Twilight Zone because it's a tune. I guess at that age, I really had a tremendous urgency and compulsion to put everything that I knew into a tune. And Chinese Twilight Zone is a tune that's just crammed full of different stuff. And I just wanted to show how inside me all the different types of music connected and I had to just shove it all into one tune. As I got older, I think I started separating things out and concentrating on a certain idea for a tune, for example, and developing it further. I learned more about development and studying composition further. But at that time of life, like many people in their 20s, I just wanted to tell people everything that I knew and loved and was excited about.
So what have you crammed into this?
Well, you name it. It's got everything but the kitchen sink. It's got swing. It's got Latin. It's got rock and roll. It's got an element of minimalism, cartoon music. I can't even remember what all. Just a lot of stuff. It changes constantly through the whole tune and keeps going to different places.
So this is Chinese Twilight Zone, composed by Philip Johnston from the new Microscopic Septet reissue, Seven Men in Neckties. That's Philip Johnston's composition, Chinese Twilight Zone, from the new Microscopic Septet double reissue, which is called Seven Men in Neckties. And the track we just heard was originally on the first Micros album, which was called Take the Z Train. Philip, you worked on putting this CD reissue together. What was it like for you to reimmerse yourself in your earliest recorded music?
Well, the biggest difficulty about it was just remembering things and finding materials. Like I think most musicians, I never listen to my own records unless I'm forced to for some reason. And to go back 20, 25 years and listen to stuff I hadn't thought about, it seems like it's by somebody else in a way, because my music has gone to a very different place since that time. But I was happy to hear I still liked it. It seemed very far away from what I do now.
My guests are Philip Johnston and Joel Forrester of the Microscopic Septet. They're reuniting for a concert tour and have reissued their albums on CD. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guests are Joel Forrester and Philip Johnston of the Microscopic Septet. The Micros are reuniting for a concert tour and have reissued their albums on CD. You know, as our listeners, I think, know, the Microscopic Septet plays the Fresh Air theme, and Joel, you compose the theme. And every so often, somebody comes up to me and says, I could swear that you used to play a major version, you know, a version of the theme, but in a major key instead of the customary minor key that we hear the theme in. And of course, they're right. There was a major key version of the theme, too. Joel, you had written two versions. You want to give us your version of the story of why there were two versions of the Fresh Air theme?
My version of the story, Terry, is that it's actually down to you that we play two versions. Now, isn't that true?
That's true.
Yes. You know, I mean, let's put credit where due, you know. I remember submitting to you a piece of very dense boogie-woogie and calling it Fresh Air, and you're telling me that no one could possibly read anything or say anything on top of it. So it was back to the drawing board. What I don't recall is whether I composed the so-called hard-boiled version or the happy version first. Do you remember?
I'm pretty sure it was the hard-boiled version first, the minor key version.
Okay.
And I remember really loving the theme and wondering at that point if it sounded almost too much like the theme for a detective series.
Yes, so. Too insistent, too much insinuation.
Mm-hmm. And that wasn't appropriate?
Well, it probably was appropriate. But
Terry
anyway,
Gross,
so,
Private Eye.
Yeah, that's exactly. It. So you wrote a major key version and called it The Happy Twin. And in fact, why don't we just play it now? Well, I have to say, thank you, Joel, for writing the Happy Twin version of the theme, but I've always really liked the hard-boiled version, which is the one that we use.
And then there's many other versions that the listeners haven't heard. The ambivalent twin, the self-deprecating twin.
Philip's right about all that, of course.
And just in terms of the history of our theme, you know, the reason why we asked you guys to do the theme in the first place was because, well, Philip, like you were saying, you know, the band combines like the fun and the concise solos of jazz from the 20s and 30s with the more adventurous harmonies of contemporary jazz.
She puts it better than we have, Philip.
And that's exactly what we wanted for the theme. So we got a theme from you that really was kind of fun and lively. And what happened as soon as we were about to debut the theme, the Gulf War started, the first Gulf War in 91. And suddenly, like, the theme seemed all wrong for what was happening in the world and what we were covering on the show. So we actually held off on debuting that Fresh Air theme and played instead a different musical interlude that, Joel, you had written as music to be played in between interviews on this show, but it had a certain gravity to it that seemed appropriate as a theme. And, Philip, that featured you on soprano saxophone.
Well, you know, Terry, that composition was scored like a hymn tune for the four saxes, sort of like the way Monk scored Abide With Me for the horns in an old Riverside LP. What we had was the four saxes playing this tune as if it were sort of a hymn tune, with Dickie Dworkin, our drummer, playing military-style drums behind it.
Well, let me actually play that Gulf War theme, so to speak, which is actually included on the second of the two microscopic septet reissues, and the second one is called Surrealistic Swing. The so-called Fresh Air Gulf War theme, and it's included on the microscopic septet's second of two reissues called Surrealistic Swing. I'd like to end with another track from the Micros reissue, and Philip, this is a piece that you wrote called A Strange Thought Entered My Head. Would you say something about it for us?
It's another tune which has crammed into it everything I know, and goes to a lot of different places, and I think that was basically probably the number one aspect of my writing at the time. I was trying to explicate the connections that I was making through between different things, which seemed to me amazing, and I just wanted to tell everybody, hey, Kodo music is the same as blues guitar, Delta blues, and Eastern European music was the same as 20s jazz, that there was a connection between all these things, and I wanted to put that into my music and express my discovery of it.
Well, thank you both again for being with us, and congratulations on the reunion.
Thank you, Terry. Thanks for having us.
Mm.
Philip Johnston and Joel Forrester are reuniting with the five other members of the Microscopic Septet for a series of reunion concerts. Their albums have just been reissued on two double CDs, Men in Neckties and Surrealistic Swing. I'm Terry Gross.